Life's messy. We're talking spills, stains, pets, and kids.
But with Anababe, you never have to stress about messes again. At washablesofas.com, discover Anababe sofas, the only fully machine washable sofas inside and out, starting at just $699. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, that means fewer stains and more peace of mind. Designed for real life, our sofas feature changeable fabric covers, allowing you to refresh your style anytime. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa effortlessly. Perfect for cozy apartments or spacious homes. Plus, they're earth-friendly and built to last. That's why over 200,000 happy customers have made the switch. Upgrade your space today. Visit washablesofas.com now and bring home a sofa made for life. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
I welcome my colleague of long standing, Mary Kissel, Executive Vice President, Stevens Incorporated, former senior advisor to the Secretary of State. We begin with a news item from the New York Times about a decision by the Chinese Communist Party meeting in retreat this month of August, as they usually do, to assess the damage done in the year's provocations. This provocation seems especially needing interpretation. The New York Times headline says it. No passports, no study abroad. China limits public employees' travel. Mary, a very good evening to you. As I understand it, China has been demanding the passports of various individuals, especially wealthy individuals, for years, worrying about capital flows. But this looks to be directed not at the wealthy, but at municipal workers. School teachers, we're told by the New York Times. Taking a passport away is detention. Chinese school teachers and municipal workers, firemen, are accustomed to traveling, for example, to Bangkok or to Tokyo or to Manila to buy goods that are not available readily in China. At the same time, this looks to be exactly the opposite of the open hand that Xi Jinping has offered to American and European businesses and tourists these last years. You were many years in China for the Wall Street Journal. Is this something that can be interpreted as hostile, as frightened? What does it mean, Mary? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. I think the broadest reading of this news is to reiterate once again that China is not a normal nation, nor a normal regime. No normal country prevents its citizens' freedom of movement, including the freedom of movement to other nations. The CCP has stopped its citizens, seized their passports for decades, and they do it for various reasons. They do it to silence dissidents. They do it to, keep specific kinds of talent within the country, be it, scientific or military. They do it to settle political scores. They do it to prevent embarrassing mass migration, because if they opened up the borders, tens of thousands, if not millions of people would emigrate immediately to get out of that totalitarian, corrupt state. I think the change here is that the restrictions are broadening and therefore gaining the attention of the West and the article that you cite. It's also important to say, as you did, to contrast the different messaging that the party gives to its people versus foreigners, because, as you rightly say, they want foreigners to come in because they need still, for now, their money and their expertise. And yet there, too, they enjoy no rights once they set foot in Hong Kong Airport or Beijing or Shanghai Airport. We have hundreds of Chinese Americans and other nationalities who suffer exit bans. The most recent case was, a Commerce Department employee and a Wells Fargo banker who have been detained. It is a warning to any American who thinks about going to China that it is not a safe place to go. And just to kind of circle back to where I started, it's also an important message to other governments, including the United States government, that this regime is abnormal. It is barbarous. It is brutal, because the only kinds of regimes that, you know, keep their people within a wall are regimes that are paranoid and that have other designs. They're really not regimes that share our values or our goals, and they're not regimes that we can treat as normal partners in any sphere, economic, diplomatic, military, et cetera.
A detail, Mary, you were many years in Hong Kong, where there are heavy rains right now. A week or so ago, there were headlines about how investors are pouring into the market in Hong Kong. Is this accurate, Mary?
Well, I mean, you can look at the capital flows and see how much, not just capital, but people have flowed out of Hong Kong since we saw the Umbrella Revolution and the subsequent crackdowns several years ago. I think that the Hong Kong government, which is, you know, really just a patsy for Beijing, is, you know, doing its best to kind of pretend that it's business as usual and, you know, come to Asia's world city. But it's not Asia's world city anymore, and it never will be. Because in order to have, you know, a truly flourishing and vibrant capital market and center for innovation, you need property rights, you need a rule of law, you need public safety. None of those things exist in Hong Kong today. And so that's why so many foreigners have decamped to places like Singapore or even to the United States or Australia or elsewhere. And, you know, many Hong Kongers, were they asked, you know, do you want to stay or leave? Most of them would want to leave.
Afghanistan. 4 years ago, August of 2021, a decision made by the Biden administration that as of this moment has not been adequately explained. And now this. Headline, military.com. Afghan ally who was detained by ICE now facing fast-track deportation. An Afghan man, no name given here, his name is Saeed Nasser Nouri. His legal team has provided reporters with paperwork confirming he worked with the military as an interpreter, and the Trump administration is seeking to deport him for reasons to do with their protocols. I want to go to the August of 21. The decision to leave Kabul, to claim that it was going to take care of itself, at the time seemed especially uninformed. Now it seems cynical. What do you remember about that decision, Mary, and what we need to know?
Well, there were many presidents who tried to draw down and ultimately withdraw from Afghanistan after 9/11. President George W. Bush wanted to do it. Obama wanted to do it. We wanted to do it, and Trump won. That's why we engaged in talks with both the Afghan government and held our nose and engaged in talks with the Taliban to try to get the two to come to the table. Essentially, the formula there was the Taliban really just wanted the money. And, you know, was there a way to satisfy that and, you know, maintain the supremacy of the Afghan forces and the government and preserve the rights that had been built there for Afghan citizens? I think when President Biden came into office, he, too, like his predecessors, understood that we had more pressing national security issues and that, frankly, there was a lot of corruption there. You had aid organizations and military contractors and, you know, even the Defense Department, you know, was looking at things on a year-to-year basis instead of evaluating, you know, what progress have we made over, you know, several decades having forces here. So I don't blame Biden for, you know, assessing the situation and wanting to draw down. I think it was the manner in which he did it, the suddenness. You know, remember, too, John, that we, too, in Trump 1, drew forces down in Afghanistan, but we did it in a responsible way. We did it in a staged way in conjunction with our NATO allies. Again, you know, in conjunction and simultaneously to having talks with both sides there. And if we didn't feel like it was safe for us to withdraw, that the situation would become unstable, we stopped. And so I think, you know, the way you characterized the Biden decision was appropriate. We not only had a lot of innocent people die, We not only stranded folks who helped us, but we also, you know, delivered an enormous amount of military hardware, aircraft, and other equipment to a terrorist organization. We also abandoned what was a key base in Bagram Air Force Base, which I visited. It's a old Soviet base. It was absolutely massive. In the middle of a beautiful valley surrounded by mountains, but very strategically located, and a key area for us to not just surveil Afghanistan, but also, you know, that would allow us to have eyes on China and also served as a kind of deterrent to a larger Chinese presence in Afghanistan. That's all gone. And so the situation today in Afghanistan is, you know, frankly, where it was before 9/11. You know, gross degradations in human rights, women and girls not going to school, Sharia law, floggings, you know, upsurges in polio and child malnutrition. You know, it's not only is it, I think, a tragedy for the Afghan people, but from a U.S. national security point of view, it is once again a haven for terrorism. And it is also yet another nation that is vulnerable to China and to Chinese influence. China's always wanted the minerals there. They've had very mixed experiences dealing with the Afghans. But it's just a situation that didn't need to happen. And I think with some more prudence and patience, it could have resolved in a very different way, but it didn't.
50 years ago right now, the U.S. bugged out of Vietnam. 50 years later, we still don't have everything, but we certainly understand the political actors at the time were making decisions based on short-term needs, the polling, the election. Do you believe that Mr. Biden made decisions based on short-term needs? You know, the announcement in April of 2021 that we'll be leaving Afghanistan by September 11th, was that meant as some kind of advertising for I'm a different kind of president? What do we know about that, Mary?
I mean, it's a very obviously emotional and evocative date for many Americans, September 11th. I think every U.S. president runs a balancing act, right, where he's has to be responsive to voters. So he looks at the polls, but he also needs to take tough decisions that may make him unpopular with voters because he thinks it's in the nation's best interest. So that's the balancing act that all presidents try to make. And I just think in this case, not just President Biden, but the people around him, if they believed that this was going to be such a debacle and embarrassment, and by the way, a signal of weakness to our enemies, recall that Russia invaded Ukraine again in a full-scale way only after this Afghan debacle. I think Putin saw the President Biden as weak and thought it was his chance. So it had ramifications in a lot of places. I just, again, go back to the not just the president, but the advisors. If they thought that that was the wrong thing to do, then somebody should have resigned. You know, we used to do that in U.S. politics. You know, you resign out of conscience and then you let someone else come in. But, you know, it's just not a feature of our politics today, John. And I find that worrying because presidents don't need sycophants. They need serious counsel and principled counsel. And sometimes that means breaking with the president. And unfortunately for President Biden, that wasn't the type of people he had around him.
Mary Kissel, Executive Vice President, Stevens Incorporated, Hamas. When we come back, I'm John Batchelor.
Tired of spills and stains on your sofa? WashableSofas.com has your back. Featuring the Anabe Collection, the only designer sofa that's machine washable inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly prices. That's right, sofas start at just $699. Enjoy a no-risk experience with pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and changeable slip covers made with performance fabrics. Experience cloud-like comfort with high-resilience foam that's hypoallergenic and never needs fluffing. The sturdy steel frame ensures longevity, and the modular pieces can be rearranged anytime. Check out WashableSofas.com and get up to 60% off your Anabe sofa, backed by a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not absolutely in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping or restocking fees. Every penny back.
Upgrade now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.